الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين آمنوا وهاجروا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم أعظم درجة عند الله وأولئك هم الفائزون. يبشرهم ربهم برحمة منه ورضوان وجنات لهم فيها نعيم مقيم خالدين فيها أبدا إن الله عنده أجر عظيم. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله وذ فضل كرم إحسان of الله سبحانه وتعالى. We find ourselves on the first Jumu'ah of the Mubarak month of Muharram of this year. So as believers, whenever we are reminded, whenever there is the beginning of a new year, a new month, etc., so this reminds us of the passage of time. Time is moving. Time is moving. As they say in English, time don't wait for no man. So time keeps moving. And remember our Hazrat Mawlana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when in Ramadan Sharif, people had mentioned to him that they do this to pass time and they do that to pass time. You know, they're fasting, so now they're doing certain things of layani, of futile activity. They say to pass time. So Hazrat mentioned that you don't have to pass time. The time will pass. You don't have to pass the time. The time will pass. But the question we got to ask ourselves, am I going to remain after the time has passed? So the time that I have on hand, what have I done with it? Because I'm not going to remain forever. And when is my time up? What do I know? I don't know when my time is up. Young people pass away, old people pass away, all different ages, accidents, sometimes just heart attacks, young people. So we got no guarantee how long we're going to live. So when the date changes, the year changes, the month changes, we are reminded that, look, nothing is permanent. Death is going to come to the dunya also in the form of qiyamat, and death is going to come to each one of us in the form of maut. The only surety of life is death. There's nothing else that is of certainty. The only thing of certainty is maut. Allah Ta'ala mentions, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, that every soul shall taste of death. So, when it comes to our Hijri calendar, Muharram is the first month in the Hijri calendar, and it's a very, very virtuous month. In fact, from some sayings of the pious, from one or two narrations, we learn that these, it is second only to Ramadan Sharif, Muharram. And some of our pious elders have mentioned that the reason it is called Muharram is to increase its sanctity. Muharram is something that is sanctified. So the kuffar, they used to play around with the dates. They used to play around with dates. If they felt like having a war, so they'll say, no, this is not Muharram now. Because Muharram was a month of sanctity, even in Jahiliya. But they didn't have sanctity for anything in their heart. So they would play around with the date. If they didn't feel in the mood to show sanctity to this Mubarak month, they'll change it, make it another month. Then when they feel like having Muharram, they'll have Muharram. Their nafs was gone so strong that they were even playing around with the months also, to suit their nafs, to suit their desire. But when it came to Hajjatul Wida, the farewell Hajj of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by then Allah Rabbul Izzat had made it such that the calendar had been reset. That all the months were now in their proper place. And that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed Hajj in that year. One of the wisdoms. That was a proper Dhul Hijjah. Right? And then Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned also in one of the khutbahs that now time, the months, the calculation, everything has come back like how when Allah Ta'ala created the world. So from then, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they could keep a record, you know, of the months of, but there was no proper like a calendar as such. And must remember now, the farewell Hajj was towards the latter portion. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't live much long thereafter. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala became the Khalifa. He was Khalifa for plus minus just over 2 years. And there were many other much more serious issues to deal with. Then came the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, it is mentioned that once, Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu mentioned to him that, you know what, we need to have some dates. Because we are receiving letters from different parts of the globe. Now the Muslim, you know, boundaries of the Muslim empire was expanding. Now different governors are sending letters, different... They say, now sometime we don't know when this letter was sent. Right? Then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu himself received the letter and it had the month on it. But now he's saying, I don't know if this is last year's Sha'ban, this year's Sha'ban, or they're referring to next year's Sha'ban. So we need to have proper dates now. So then they made mashwara that look, from when should we start the Hijri calendar? It wasn't known as a Hijri calendar. So from when should we start our calendar? So different opinions were given, everything, but eventually, after much mashwara, etc., then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu decided that, look, we will start our Islamic calendar from the Hijrat. Why? Two wisdoms. One is that Muslims to come till Qiyamah will realize that this deen came alive with struggle. This deen came alive with mujahada, with qurbani, with sacrifice. The other day I was reading in one kitab, I think it was in the tafsir, wa fir'aun adil autad, that Fir'aun, he was known as the man of pegs. Why? Because he used to nail people to the ground. He would drive a peg, you know what is a peg, like a big nail? He would drive a peg through their hands, through their legs, and nail them to the ground. And then after torturing them, they don't want to give up deen, then they would let loose snakes and scorpions on them. And now these people can't move, and they would meet their end like that. His own wife, Hazrat Asiya radiallahu anha, she too, this was done to her, that she was pegged. And then a huge rock, he kept on trying to get her to leave Tawheed, leave worshipping Allah Ta'ala. And eventually they suspended a rock over her. He was so frustrated now. He said, now your last chance. You either give up this deen of Allah Ta'ala or I'm going to drop this rock on you. And she turned her face to Allah Ta'ala, turned her attention to Allah Ta'ala, and she made dua to Allah Ta'ala. And the dua is mentioned in the Quran Sharif also. That she turned to Allah Ta'ala and said, Ya Allah, you make me a place by you and save me from this Fir'aun. And when he saw that now she is not going to listen to him, then that rock was released to crush her. But it is mentioned in the kitabs that Allah Ta'ala had taken her ruh away before the rock hit her. So people made lot of qurbani from the nations before and then in the zamana of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was done to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in Makkah Mukarramah? What torture, persecution? We normally read about Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhum, what torture he went through. But he was not the only one. He was not the only one. Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu anha, what happened to her? Hazrat Zanira radiallahu anha, what happened to her? And so many others. What were they to go through? We to uphold the deen of Allah Ta'ala, what sacrifice do we have to make? We say that no, we are not like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Definitely we are not like them. That's why Allah Ta'ala didn't put on us what He put on them. But even this little bit of Qurbani, if we don't want to make even this little bit Qurbani, we are looking for ease and we are looking for comforts, even for this little bit Qurbani, then we are falling short. We are not showing our loyalty to Allah Ta'ala. We are not showing that we are worthy of walking this path. Small, small difficulties. I mean, who's pegging our hands through the ground? Who's causing us to become blind? Who's lashing us on the ground? Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu anha, read about her martyrdom. See what happened to her. So, eventually Allah Ta'ala gave permission for hijrat to take place. Hijrat wasn't an easy thing. The problem with us is we only travel for pleasure. We travel for pleasure. When we're traveling, we need big, big potcos. We're traveling with air condition. We're traveling in comfort. So when we think about hijrat, oh, they went to from Makkah, Madinah Munawwara. You're thinking about Madinah Munawwara with your Barjisi ice cream. And you're thinking of Madinah Munawwara with your, what's the other ice cream? Baskin Robbins. And you're thinking of Madinah Munawwara with marble, and you're thinking of your smart hotels. No, no, no. When they left Makkah Mukarramah, they left with a very, very hard, you know, heavy hearts. Very heavy hearts they left Makkah Mukarramah. And the journey from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara was no easy thing. And when they made up their mind that they're making hijrat, it meant now that they are sacrificing everything in their life. Some of them left without their families. Some of them, only one person accepted Islam. He's leaving his whole family behind. Just one garment on his body and he's making hijrat. There was one Sahabi Shu'aib radiallahu an, Suhaib radiallahu an. He was being tortured, etc. Eventually he decided to make hijrat. They caught him on the way. He took out his bow and arrow. Today's children will take out vape. What you going to do with that? Look like an ape. So he took out his bow and arrow. And he told them, see, all of you know that I am a better archer than any of you. So till there is an arrow in my quiver, you won't come near me. After that, I will take out my sword and I will fight you. Then it's either going to be me or you. Either you're going to kill me or I'm going to kill all of you. But I got a second option for you. I got a second option. Now must remember, he wants to go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wants to go to a place where he can practice his deen. Right? He has sacrificed everything, he's going now. These people caught him. So he says to them, see, I got option number two. I got some wealth buried there in Makkah Mukarramah. You can have all the money, it's yours. I go safely, you go safely. We don't have to fight. You take all the money is yours. I want Allah. See, I want Allah Ta'ala. I want Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You want the good weather of Makkah Mukarramah, have it. I'm going to a place that is full of fever, no problem. You want the wealth, have it. I'm going to a place, I own nothing. But I will have Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's what I want. So leave my road open and let me go. Today's time when Allah Ta'ala is putting us in His path. We crying, no, I don't want this. I want the world. Look at the Qurbani of Sahaba. This is why Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he started this calendar from Hijrat. So that me and you, our whole life, we can contemplate of the Qurbani that was made for this deen to come alive.
the own daughter of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha, her husband hadn't accepted Islam as yet. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam requested them, send my daughter away. Send my daughter away. Eventually, the husband gave permission, can go. Her brother-in-law, he was not a Muslim, right? So he said that he will take her. He will take her. And Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent Hazrat Zaid radiallahu an and one Ansari sahabi to meet this Kinana at a certain place. And then they will take her and go to Madinah Munawwara. So when this Kinana was taking her and going, the Quraysh came. There was one shaitan, you know, one real shaitan amongst them. He started poking the camel that she was riding on with his spear. If I hit you on your side, what's going to happen? You jump. So he's poking, keep poking the camel, making the camel jump. She was in a hodaj, in a like a box that they used to strap onto the camel's back. So eventually she fell down. She fell on a rock. She was expecting at the time. She miscarried her child also. She miscarried. She was bleeding profusely. It's the daughter of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's daughter. Then Abu Sufyan, that Kinana, he took out his weapons. He was a non-Muslim. That's why Allah can use anybody for this deen, bhai. Allah don't need me, don't need you. If Allah want to use kuffar to defend the deen, Allah can use kuffar. If Allah want to use animals to defend the deen, Allah can use animal. If Allah uses me and you, it's our khush nasib. It's our good fortune. And if after Allah choosing me and you, if we looking at something else, then it's a big injustice we are doing to a great ni'mat that Allah is giving us. So he, being a kafir, but he took out his weapons and he told them, I will fight you, I will kill each one of you. So Abu Sufyan came. And Abu Sufyan told him, see, put your weapons down so I can talk to you. You see, with the kuffar, it's all a pride thing. So Abu Sufyan told him, see, we got no problem with her going. But now you taking her out in broad daylight here in front of everybody, it makes us look stupid. So you take her back to Makkah Mukarrama, like as if to say, we calling the shots. And then slowly, when everything subsides and nobody is looking, then take her and go away, no problem. So he took her back to Makkah Mukarrama. Hazrat Zaid radiallahu an, he found one shepherd. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given him a ring to show Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha, so she will know that he has been sent by her father. So Zaid radiallahu anha, he couldn't get into Makkah Mukarramah. So he found one shepherd and he told him, see, you take this ring and give it to Zainab radiallahu anha. So the shepherd took the ring and gave it. When she saw the ring, she realized that her father, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has sent people for her. So she got the message to the Kinana. So then Kinana took her quietly, and she asked the shepherd, this man who gave you this ring, where is he? So he gave the whereabouts, you know. So then he took her and went. They met with Hazrat Zaid radiallahu anhu and the Ansari sahabi, and then they took her away from there to Madinah Munawwara. This is a Qurbani. I'm just giving you one incident. If you have to read up, how many incidents of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So in this month of Muharram, if you can keep Roza, you try and fast, especially on the 10th of Muharram. The 10th of Muharram was the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drowned Fir'aun. Fir'aun and his army was drowned, and Allah ta'ala saved Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and his people. they had run away from Firaun. Musa alayhi salam took them away on the command of Allah Ta'ala. And now they came and the ocean is in front of them. They can't go further. When they look in the back, they can see the dust clouds of the army of Firaun coming for them. Now they start arguing with Hazrat Musa. You see, you got us in a problem. You brought us here. Now we can't go front, we can't go back. What's going to happen to us? Musa alayhi salam was not perturbed. Allah Ta'ala instructed, Allah Ta'ala will find a way out. Then Allah Ta'ala instructed him to hit his asa on the ocean. Now what can you take one stick and hit the ocean? What can it do? But in deen, you don't use your logic. You follow Allah's command. So when he struck the ocean with his staff, Allah Ta'ala made 12 highways in the ocean. The 12 tribes of the Bani Israel, each one had their own highway to travel. To go on the other side. Firaun tried to follow them. Allah Ta'ala commanded the waters to close on him. When Firaun was in the bed of the ocean, that time he wants to bring iman. Now he can see the angels of death. That time he is saying that I am bringing iman. But you see, when you become an enemy of Allah, Allah save us. Allah save us from doing deeds that Allah gets angry with us. When you become an enemy of Allah, then the makhluk of Allah doesn't love you. So much, when he went to try and read the words of Tawheed, Jibreel alayhi salam took sand from the bed of the ocean and threw it in his mouth. That you mustn't be able to read. Al-an, you want to read now? Whole life you disobeyed. Now when you can see the things of the akhirat, now you want to say words of iman. So he threw the sand in his mouth. He mustn't be able to read. It was too late for him to make tawbah and bring iman. Because already he could see the things of the akhirat. Iman is bil ghaib. You have to bring iman in the unseen. Otherwise there is no test of iman. So we must... It was a day of victory for iman. Allah Ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salam and his people and drowned the tyrant Firaun. People in ignorance, they try to say that no, this day now you are remembering the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, the beloved grandson of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is somebody very, very dear to us. Very, very dear to us. And the legacy that he left is a legacy that we are supposed to practice on. That he said, never mind, I can give my life also. But I must stand for what is haq. So he was honored. Allah Ta'ala gave him shahadat on this day, this great day of 10th Muharram. But 10th Muharram didn't get its fazilat because of the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. Then people got all their different false customs, red apples and green apples and red faluda and green faluda and strings they're wearing on everything on to imitate the Hindus and other people. So all this got no basis in the Shariat, it got no basis in the deen of Allah Ta'ala. So we must try and keep Roza on the 9th and 10th or the 10th and 11th, which is next week, next week Friday, Saturday. We must try and keep the Roza. And then those that have dependents, like a married man, he's got his wife, he's got his children, he's got dependents. The Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that person who spends on his family, he don't have to go and do anything spectacular and all that. Whatever you want to spend, give them a better meal, whatever it may be. So he spend, give them some extra nafaka or whatever. So he spends something on his family on the day of Ashura. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be generous towards him for the rest of the year. There are many, many things to discuss with regards to Muharram. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. The main lesson, sabak, that we must be able to sacrifice for our deen. Allah must keep us with afiyat, with ease. So whatever small, small qurbanis we have to make, we must make it with happiness for the upliftment of the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, give me tawfiq, give you tawfiq, and the entire ummah tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.